We're here at the International AIDS Conference with Dr. Joe Eron of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Dr. Eron is the lead researcher of the CLEAN study, that's spelled with a K, a clinical trial comparing a ritonavir-boosted Lexiva regimen to a Kaletra-based regimen in HIV-positive people starting HIV treatment for the first time. Dr. Eron, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about the CLEAN study?
Sure. The CLEAN study was just mentioned is for treatment-naive patients who were randomized to either Lexiva ritonavir or Kaletra, which is lopinavir ritonavir, plus fixed-dose combination abacavir 3TC. And it was a large, very well-powered study, meaning that it was intended to really specifically address the question is how comparable is Lexiva ritonavir to Kaletra.
And Kaletra, of course, is kind of standard of care. It's the preferred regimen by the NIH for starting people for the first time.
So like if
it's the most popular protease inhibitor.
Right. If you look at the DHHS guidelines, Kaletra is their preferred protease inhibitor. If you look at other guidelines, it is either the preferred or one of the preferred. So again, we were trying to show that Lexiva was as good as, and in kind of the scientific statistical parlay, we call that non-inferiority, meaning that it's so similar that it's almost the same. We don't quite call it equivalence, and that's a statistical issue, but this study was powered to show that Lexiva was not inferior to, and in fact very similar to, Kaletra. And I think that the results of the study can really be summarized very, very succinctly. The two medications were extremely comparable. If you look at the proportion less than 400 at 48 weeks, if you look at the proportion less than 50 at 48 weeks.
You're talking about viral load.
Viral load here. They are very, very similar. You can't say identical because in statistics, nothing is identical, but they're very, very similar. And the other thing, too, is if you look at tolerability and toxicity, they're also very similar. And I think one important point, which is very important about boosted protease inhibitor regimens in general, in the small proportion of patients that had virologic failure, the risk or the likelihood that you would see protease inhibitor resistance was very low. In fact, no patient developed phenotypic resistance to the protease inhibitors.
So Lexiva is looking as strong, as durable as the standard care Kaletra.
Right. There's a 48-week study, so I think that we'd have to comment on a different study for durability, but certainly in terms of efficacy, tolerability, protection against resistance emergence, they are absolutely comparable.
Kaletra's got like 3 years of follow-up now.
There are some studies, actually the 720 study, which is an Abbott study, is now in has just completed its seventh year of follow-up.
Wow.
And is about to be published. I think that most of us believe, and I think it's always best to have data, but most of us believe that if you get to 48 weeks and you're less than 50 copies, what dictates your long-term success is going to be tolerability and adherence. And the likelihood that you will fail virologically when you reach that point is really quite low if you're able to continue your medicine.
T4 increases, same story?
Yeah, very similar. There are about 200 cells. The median was just under 200 cells in each treatment arm, so very, very comparable.
And what about side effects? Obviously with Kaletra, you really got to worry about your cholesterol going up, your triglycerides going up.
So this was an interesting component of the study. First of all, if we looked at just side effects, the most common was diarrhea, which was around 12% in both treatment arms, and almost all of that was grade 2 diarrhea. The serious diarrhea, grade 3 or grade 4, where some intervention had to take place, was very uncommon in both treatment arms.
And that's the diarrhea is most people think that's caused from the ritonavir?
The ritonavir component. That's probably true, and I think one criticism of this study, to be objective and fair, is that we did not use the current formulation of Kaletra, which is this Maltrex formulation. We had to use the soft gel formulation because the study started, over 2 years ago, and that's what was available at that time. And then you asked about cholesterol. the cholesterol and triglyceride changes were also very comparable. And I think one might have thought, well, maybe Lexeva, ritonavir would you know, have fewer cholesterol or less of an effect on cholesterol. And actually, they turned out to be quite similar. I think one of the big advantages of this study for both the Kaletra and the Lexeva ritonavir was they paired it with Abacavir 3TC fixed dose combination. That combination, I think, has very little effect in and of itself on cholesterol and triglycerides. Therefore, you know, the previous Abbott studies pretty much have been done with D4T 3TC. Wow. And clearly D4T has substantial negative effect on triglyceride. It influences rises in triglycerides.
We understand that the International AIDS Society, the IAS, who sponsors this conference, has updated its treatment guidelines to include Norvir-boosted Lexeva as a preferred protease option for HIV-positive people starting therapy for the first time. In the U.S., the Department of Health and Human Services guidelines still list Kaletra as the only preferred protease inhibitor. Do you think that the results of CLEAN will put Norvir-boosted Lexeva on the same footing as the protease inhibitor option in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my understanding of the guidelines that just came out and published in JAMA, the August 15th issue, 2006, is that was the IAS USA, which is different than the IAS that sponsors this conference. There may be a second IAS guideline, but the IAS USA guidelines, the ones that I'm familiar with, do list Lexeva, ritonavir, Kaletra, and actually I think sequinavir, ritonavir as preferred initial PI therapy, and actually have elevated Lexeva, as we just mentioned, but also elevated Abacavir 3TC to be one of their preferred backbones.
Right.
The DHHS, I think, if they follow their kind of standard operating procedure, which is if you have a well-powered comparative clinical trial that demonstrates, you know, non-inferiority or equivalence to a standard preferred regimen, that your the compound being tested will be elevated to that standard. So I think the DHHS guidelines will change, but I don't know. I'm not on that committee. I don't have any influence with that committee, but I suspect they will change, and I suspect Lexeva, ritonavir will move into a preferred status in the DHHS guidelines.
But if you're a doctor and you've got a patient and you're going to be putting him on therapy for the first time, and your choice is between Kaletra, which has already got the ritonavir built in, so it's just one pill, versus giving them the two pills of Lexeva plus Norvir,
right.
And you're looking at that 7-year follow-up versus 1-year follow-up, why would you choose the Lexeva? Why would you put that patient on?
Well, I think this is a really good choice. A good question. I am a clinician. I see patients one day a week, and I think your question is very insightful. And what I would argue is it's always good for clinicians and patients to have a choice. So, one, this study demonstrates a clear ability to make a choice. The second thing, which this study does not address but is kind of conjecture on my part, is that being able to give the Lexeva with Norvir allows you some flexibility that you don't have with Kaletra, which has lopinavir, ritonavir built in. So what I mean by this, and this is speculation, this wasn't addressed by the study, you know, if once someone becomes suppressed, could you reduce the amount of ritonavir in the regimen? Could you alter the dosing schedule? Those are things that you can do with a two pills, two separate medications that you can't with lopinavir, ritonavir. On the other hand, what you said about them being in one tablet is a big and important advantage. And for some patients, where adding any complexity to the regimen increases their risk of treatment failure, then I think having the fixed dose combination is an important thing. But I think what it does is it gives us all choice on how to manage the patients.
Thank you, Dr. Aaron, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.